Hello friends, Bobby here. Today we're bringing you a mini episode with a shorter conversation that had to be cut from a full episode. We hope you enjoy.
So the state of the fandom. So Bobby and I have often talked about how JTeenie are some of the best ATeenie because they very consistently get ATs like up in the charts. They don't complain a lot. They don't cause a lot of like fan wars or problems. They just very consistently perform well for ATs in Japan, sell out shows, get them on charts,
sell
out albums.
They're very respectful. Like, I don't see them mobbed at Japanese airports or anything like that. They seem very grateful for all of the things that they receive. I don't get a lot of JTeenie tweets that cross my timeline, but when I do, they're normally very cute and wholesome.
I follow a lot of JTeenie artists, and those are really delightful.
Right.
So that's mostly what I see, but
however,
recently it was announced that BE:FIRST would be at the LA show, and I do want to be clear that we don't actually know what that means. A lot of people are assuming that they're going to perform Hush Hush. I'm not assuming that, because that would mean a change in the set list,
which Hyunjun has promised us is not happening.
It would be so exciting because I will be at the LA show, so if they perform Hush Hush, that would be so exciting for me personally.
it would not be exciting for me. I would be bitter and angry about it.
However, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think they're going to open for ATs, much like Stikers did during, was it Break the Wall or Beginning of the End?
It was Break the Wall.
It was Break the Wall. Stikers didn't exist.
Yeah, they didn't really exist. We knew about
Beginning
them.
Beginning of the End.
But we knew them, like they had actually started like releasing stuff for Break the Wall.
And I want to say that during, when it was announced that Psychers was going to be opening during Break the Wall, people were pissed then too.
Which I don't understand.
I still don't understand it either. I thought it was delightful. It wasn't like they were taking time away from ATEEZ's stage. ATEEZ is still doing the same stage.
It was bonus. We got, we just got more content. And I don't understand this mentality of their riding on the coattails of ATs. Like, yeah.
That's what an opening act is.
And, like, they are, you know, all these people who are mad that, like, Zykers gets opportunities that ATs didn't have. Like, yeah, that's the whole point. That's what we were upset about with ATs, that they didn't have anybody going before them to pave the way for them.
Right.
This is literally what's supposed to happen. And ATs is so pleased and thrilled that they get to do stuff like that for Zykers. They've said it so many times. And I think it, like, I don't know, you know, our friend in our group chat yesterday was trying to, like, work out, like, I wonder what, like, what's the benefit for both of the companies? Like, it's obvious that BE:FIRST is going to get a little bit more U.S. exposure, a tiny bit of U.S. exposure, because they are only in L.A. I'm not bitter. I'm not bitter at all. But it does make, she was wondering, you know, what is KQ getting out of this? Like, there has to be some kind of advantage for KQ to have this group that America is vastly unfamiliar with come and open for them. I want to believe in my heart that it's just altruism, that, you know, we see you, small group, and we know what it's like to be a small group, and we want you, we want to give you a leg up, the leg up that nobody gave to us. I don't know that that's what's going on. That's my headcanon. I don't know if that's actual canon.
I mean, there can be multiple benefits, right? Like, you know, maybe this was the original exchange, right? Like, we'll be on your song. Because it was definitely BE:FIRST's song. Hush Hush was BE:FIRST's song.
Right.
We'll be on your song if you open for us at tour. You know, like, it could be, like, a thing like that. And opening acts are so common in America. Like, I don't know why. Like, that's, I've never, outside of K-pop, I've never been to a show in America that didn't have an opening act.
Yeah, K-pop should do them more.
Right.
Like, it should be common for upcoming groups or groups from smaller companies to open for larger groups.
You know who does have an opening act? KCON. KCON has always done an opening act. It's, you, like, when I went to KCON in 2023, the night I was there, it was, like, some cheerleaders, which was very fun. They were doing, like, dances to covers. or dances to K-pop songs, and that was just it. Like, that was mm-hmm. the opening performance, and it was super fun.
Right.
I see no problem with an opening act, but all of this to say is that JTeenies have been very upset since the announcement of BE:FIRST performing at the AT's LA concerts. Mm-hmm. And some of the tweets are about writing on AT's coattails. I'm upset mm-hmm. about that. And then there are some that are like, well, AT's shows are so immersive and this is going to ruin the immersive storyline. And I'm like, I don't think AT's is going to be like performing and then like BE:FIRST is going to come out. Mm-hmm. Also, when Maddox mm-hmm. was in Europe, like, please, Maddox, also come to the US. We like you too. Like, I just don't understand. Excited. But anyways, he came out during, like, intermission, like, the middle mm-hmm. section, and no one complained about AT's storyline being destroyed then. I don't mm-hmm. know. It just feels weird to me. Like, AT's is not going to sacrifice their show to mm-hmm. put another group in. So they obviously think that this is either going to enhance their show in some way, or mm-hmm. at least won't affect it.
Right. Well, how could... I just don't...
Yeah, how could it?
My mind is just baffled. Like, I would not have called this, because it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Right.
Because BE:FIRST is not diminishing AT's in any possible way. I don't care if they are riding on their coattails. I don't care. Yeah. Let them ride. Their coattails are powerful enough to carry this group. I don't understand this mentality that, because a lot of the tweets that I saw, because I looked at one and then suddenly there were like a bunch more.
Yeah, if you click an open one, mm-hmm. all of a sudden your timeline is yeah.
Twitter's like,
oh,
this
angry.
Is what you want? You want anger? So all of the ones that I saw were like, AT's came up from a small company and they did it all by themselves. And so it's this idea that because AT's had to do it all by themselves, everybody else should also have to do it all by themselves. Mm-hmm. And I just don't get that. Like,
anyone, or not anyone, I won't say anyone, but a lot of people who have done things by themselves don't want others to have to do it by themselves. Like, they mm-hmm. want to give back, they want to help. Mm-hmm. So, and I think AT's is that type of person, right? Like, there are definitely people like, I did it by myself, you should be able to do it by yourself.
It's a very boomer mentality. I was
yeah,
just thinking.
That's what I was thinking.
It reminds me of the conversation around student loan forgiveness.
Uh-huh. Or that, buying your first
or
home.
Or buying your first house. All of these things that used to be so much easier to do. Not mm-hmm. easy, but easier to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, paying for your own college tuition, buying your first house. Starter homes don't exist anymore.
No.
They're not there. You mm-mm. you have to get help from your parents mm-hmm. or you have to just already be rich. Like, those are right. your two,
and those are,
two options.
Those are usually the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Get help from your parents or be rich.
Right.
Like, that's... My parents helped us mm-hmm. get the house that my husband and I have, and we literally couldn't have done it without them. Like, we can obviously afford to live here, mm-hmm. but the down payment, getting the loan, like, we couldn't have done it without them.
Right. So it's just crazy, this idea that because it was hard for me, it mm-hmm. needs to also be hard for everybody else.
Mm-hmm. It's a very yeah, you said boomer, but in my head I was like, well, those are all conservative Republicans. That's what I thought.
Yeah. Well, I honestly, boomers and conservative Republicans just go hand in hand.
The
so
Venn diagram
often.
Is a circle.
It's a circle, yeah.
So they're very upset, but I think it'll... I still think that Hush Hush won't be performed. I would be so surprised if Hush Hush is performed. Like, that would be great, but
it
I would be surprised.
It seems a little silly for them to come all the way to LA and not for them to not perform the song that they
it does,
did together. But it also wouldn't make sense with... Because they would have to change the whole show in order to
right.
make it fit. Because AT's isn't going to come out and perform before they do, like, their grand opening number.
Right. Unless they're going to do it in the intermission. But then it's not much of an intermission,
it's not an
right?
intermission.
If AT's has to trot back out.
Or if they, like, tack it on to the very end as part of the encore.
Oh, that would be fun. The encore could be good. I hadn't even considered that. Because that's when, like, most... Like, I know BTS had, like, special guest stars at their Las Vegas show every night, like, people that they had collabed with, and it was always in the encore that, like, Halsey came out, or Megan Thee Stallion, I think they did a collab with her, maybe. I don't know, cut this, because I don't know what I'm talking about with BTS. And they'll just, you know, if ARMY ever finds her, finds me.
Oh, they did a butter with her.
Right. Okay. So they did.
You do know what you're talking about.
I do. So I think she also came out during an encore, and that's really fun. That's a fun way to, like, in the show. So maybe they'll have them open and then also trot them out for the encore, and I'll get to see Hush Hush as an encore.
We'll see. You'll see. I won't see.
And then, of course, the state of the fandom, as of our recording of today, yesterday, actually, still technically, it is Eden's birthday, both in U.S. time where we are, and it is still in Korea time at the time of recording. So right. Technically, still Eden's
37
birthday.
37 more minutes of Eden's birthday.
And I celebrated Eden's birthday, which was very exciting for me. I got a cake. And I wore my Eden shirt, and then I posted about it on Twitter, and I knew people would hate it, obviously, because I'm not an idiot. Like, I knew the response that would happen. That's what I'm dealing with today, the aftermath of my tweet, which is fine. I'm just blocking people.
If you have not figured it out yet, we'll just make it clear for you. That is, we're both fans of Eden. We like him not only as AT's producer, but also as an artist in his own right. R.I.P. Eden, release another song, please.
I know.
We are aware of the discourse. We have read, we have heard all of the discourse. I am going to convince Rachel to do an Eden episode eventually. So we'll talk about it. We will hash it all out eventually. But just so you know, we are fans of Eden. And just spoilers, we think the discourse is stupid.
As is often the case, I also called the discourse around Golden Hour stupid. So I guess
why are we always so stupid? Like, why is the fandom just garbage so much?
Discourse
of the time?
Is stupid. I don't know.
I mean, it really is. It is primarily on Twitter. I don't know what happens on TikTok. I see a little bit of it on Instagram.
I'm sure people on TikTok hate Eden too. I just don't. I've tried to, like, comment long comments on TikTok and discovered that that's not allowed. There's like it's like a tweet limit. Character limit.
TikTok is not for having chats. That's not for talking things out. So it's unfortunate that you can just spread a lot of misinformation and just, I did find that it was interesting and probably expected that a lot of people, I've seen a lot of emphasis on Hong Joon as producer.
Yes.
Recently, and it does feel very pointed and shady. And it's like, it's not a competition. It's not one or the other. You don't, there isn't, if you enjoy Eden as a producer, you can't enjoy Hong Joon as a producer.
Here's what I find. Well, like, we as a fandom, and we should, we as a fandom accept multi-stans, right? Like, you can love Seventeen and ATEEZ. Karateenies are a big thing. Stateenies are a thing. Moateenies are a thing, right? Like, we accept these people liking other artists.
Right.
And also ATEEZ. And when they tweet about those other artists, we aren't like, oh, how dare you also like this other artist. Eden is another artist, and I like him. So you're just going to have to let me have that or not, just not engage with me. Either is fine. But, like, he is another artist. There's no reason that I should only be allowed to like one artist.
I believe that in the minds of ATEEZ, it's not so much like, you know, ATEEZ versus Seventeen.
Right.
It's more like ATEEZ versus VADA, where this is a person who has done infinite wrong to ATEEZ.
But they're wrong.
They are wrong. They are wrong. So. They're very, very wrong. So that's what we're going to talk about in our Eden episode. So look forward to that. So yeah, so the fandom is wilding out the way that they always do.
But it's nice for me because it's like a real specific block list. I don't have to search people out. They're coming to me, and then I get to block them. And I find that it's certainly easier for me.
It's kind of like laying down a trap and, you know, just getting rid of all the people that you catch. You know what? I was thinking the other day, actually yesterday while I was painting, that the fandom had actually been pretty chill. Like, I feel like when the fan meet was happening, all of the discourse was just about the fan meet. And I wasn't really seeing a lot of negativity about, like, anything else. I wasn't seeing a lot of complaints about anything else. Mm-hmm. It was just, my timeline was just fan meet related. So I know that one of the questions that you asked, I think it's in the episode that's coming out next. You say, I don't know how the fandom chills. And I think I was like, I think that's our answer, is we need something else to focus on. Like, we just have to have something happy. And if there's nothing else to talk about, then they will just complain. I don't know.
I think the tour will give people a different thing to talk about. So I think we'll chill during that. I do suspect we'll have some fan wars during the tour, and that'll distract people, kind of unite them against a common cause.
I so much prefer a fan war than 18E's just being crazy.
So I agree. I'd rather have, like, an enemy that is a real enemy.
I will fight with Stays all day long. That's fine. Yeah. It's when 18E's turn on the group that, and I consider KQ as part of the group because they are all one big family. It's when ATDs turn on themselves and on ATs themselves that things just get really gross. So if we have a common enemy, if we were in a fan war all the time, it would actually be very peaceful in Tiny Town.
For us specifically. For us, yeah. For people who take fan wars seriously, maybe not, but yeah. It was a good time when we were all united against Fata because he was really bad.
Like, he was actually a villain. He actually did something, like, we could all look at it and see the thing that he did. Like, right, we're all seeing this, right? And so,
and then his, like, statements afterwards were so stupid too, so it was, like, so easy to make fun of him.
Right, we need to save that discourse for our favorite fan war episode, because that should be on the list with all the other good ones we've had.
Thanks for joining us for this mini episode. You can catch our full episodes on Wednesday. If you enjoyed this mini conversation, please subscribe to the podcast. You can connect with us at oldontini@gmail.com, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at holochatpodcast, or read more from our blog at ontini.com. We'll see you soon. Be the light.